KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have cloudy skies here in Atlantic, 67 degrees. We look for isolated showers and thunderstorms this morning, otherwise partly cloudy, warm and humid, a high of 87. Radar does show some light shower activity around the Atlantic area, to the north of us, actually, and along and south of Interstate 80 between Anita and Adair. Some heavier showers right along the interstate there, and that's pushing off to the southeast. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. In an update to our earlier online and broadcast reports, the Fremont County Sheriff's Office late Wednesday evening provided additional information with regard to a death that took place Tuesday afternoon. Sheriff Kevin Astrup reports deputies responded at around 1:20 p.m. Tuesday to a call about a man who had fallen out of a bucket truck lift while trimming trees. The accident happened at 2474 Bluff Road, north of Highway 2. Sydney Rescue arrived and performed life-saving measures, but 32-year-old Keith Sorensen of Clarinda died at the accident scene. No foul play was suspected. The Fremont County Coroner and LifeNet Rescue assisted the Sheriff's Office and Sydney Rescue. Earlier in the day, Wednesday, officials with Essex-based Sorensen Brothers Southwest Iowa Tree Service had said on their Facebook page that an employee of the company died Tuesday in a job-related accident, and they had identified the victim as Keith Sorensen. A statement from the company said also that those who had spoken to Keith and gotten bids or scheduled work should call the Sorensen Law Office at 712-246-1924 for arrangements to have that work completed. Atlantic City Administrator John Lund Wednesday evening reported to the City Council that he's been working a lot on the fiscal year 2019 budget and that things are proving to be not as much fun as it's been in the past. And by that he means
our capital expenditures have been going up. We have new operational spending and loss in the general fund. The hit that we're going to take in loss this year is really hard. I'm really struggling to find a way to make that all work. Our debt limit capacity will be up to just below what our limit that we've set in the financial policy. And our actual debt levy is very high. That was one of the few things that we got, you know, pretty bad scores from Standard & Poor's on in our last bond rating.
Lund said he's only in the preliminary stages of putting together the budget and hopefully things will improve, but he warned city leaders need to be aware of the amount of money the city takes in from the local option sales tax is based on what the state takes in, and those numbers, he said, are looking a lot worse.
I think we're kind of starting to reach a limit of what we can do with our current revenue and fee structures. And I think new needs or wants in the future that are outside of the budgeting process, it's going to involve, you know, either increasing fees, finding new fees, or we're going to be spending down reserve balances.
Lund said also we can't just raise property taxes to solve the problem.
The general fund has been capped in Atlantic for decades, so we're stuck with whatever comes back out of that related to taxable value. And our debt service, as it's basically structured now, we would have to end up borrowing a lot more money in order to levy more money for that debt. And employee benefits is the only other thing you can actually tax for.
The bottom line, he said, is that we should be cautious in spending here. State officials say a projected shortfall in Iowa's roughly $7.2 billion budget has shrunk and will not require a special legislative session to fix it. The Iowa Department of Management and the Iowa Department of Revenue say the state budget that ended in June had about a $13 million shortfall. That figure is much smaller than projections earlier this summer. The announcement Wednesday means Governor Kim Reynolds will not have to call lawmakers back to the Capitol for a special session. She has the authority without legislative action to transfer up to $50 million in emergency funds to plug a budget shortfall. The nonpartisan Legislative Services Agency estimated earlier this summer a possible shortfall of around $100 million. State officials say final adjustments on the range of incoming revenue shrunk the expected shortfall. LSA tax analyst Jeff Robinson later said the data does show that major revenue improvements in the final months of accounting. Democrats in the Republican majority legislature had expressed skepticism at the figures. The state officials offered to meet with anyone to go over those numbers. And the deadline is approaching for persons in Cass County to submit nomination papers for the November 7th city elections in Cass County, and the auditor's office is putting out a plea for anyone who's thinking about running for office to do so now. If you've ever thought about being involved in civic government, get a nomination form and the 10 required signatures. Return it to the auditor's office by no later than 5 p.m. today. There are some cities that are in need of people to file to run for office, among them Anita, where there is two council positions, Messina, the mayor's position, and Wyota, two council positions. Now, the county auditor's office yesterday afternoon did say that some nomination papers have been filed, especially with regard to the city of Cumberland. The incumbent mayor, Nancy Virginia Coughlin, has filed for re-election. And filing for the city council's position is Mike Hill, Michael Martin, and Gary Cooper. John Krogman has filed his nomination papers to run for the Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department Board of Directors. In the funeral announcements this morning, Norma Jean Goldsmith, age 84, of Red Oak and formerly of Corning, died Monday at the Good Samaritan Society in Red Oak. Memorial services for Norma Jean Goldsmith will be today at 10:30 at the Pearson Family Funeral Service and Cremation Center in Corning. Doris P. Scarlett, age 94, of Anita, died Tuesday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Graveside services for Doris Scarlett will be today at 10:30 at the Evergreen Cemetery in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Joseph Walter Page, age 61, of Harlan, died Saturday at Methodist Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Joseph Page will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Pauline Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Lillian Mae Moon, age 80, who's formerly of Stewart, died September 11th in Palm Springs, California. Graveside services for Lillian Moon will be held on Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Calvary Catholic Cemetery in Stewart. A celebration of life will follow the graveside service, and that'll be at the home of Brad and Nancy Moore at 414 Wildcat Court in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home and Crematory in Stewart is in charge of the arrangements. Patrick J. McGovern, age 85, of Austin, Texas, died June 17th at Round Rock, Texas. A celebration of life memorial service for Patrick McGovern will be Saturday at 1:30 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. And Sharon Mae Huddleston, age 69, of Stewart and formerly of Adair, died Sunday at the Caring Acres in Anita. Celebration of life service for Sharon Mae Huddleston will be held October 14th at 10:30 a.m. at the Anita Methodist Church. And that is a check of our news for this hour, brought to you by Cass County Health Systems, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.